Good evening, everyone. We will go ahead and get started tonight. It's a little bit of raining, but that's okay. Of course, we're doing things a little different tonight, and appreciate everybody coming to the sanctuary. Brother Jack, I want to share some verses with you and say a few things, at least particular verses that's on his heart. And then there's a short video, YouTube video, has a great illustration on there concerning life and life hereafter. And so I watched it today, and it's really good. So just thought we'll do things a little different tonight and switch things up a little bit. And so we're excited about that. I do want to mention a few folks on our prayer sheet. Miss Betty Berry, she's home. The last I checked, she's home from Brother Allen's house.
Yeah, she is.
Okay. She's doing better and better.
She's doing okay, yeah.
Good.
She had to get home yesterday, so she's going to get her hair done.
She was in the hospital, had a perfect hairdo there.
Yeah. I've never seen
anything. Never seen anything messed up.
And then Miss Terry Clayton.
Back to work.
I guess you better. And what's your name? Barbara Ann. I talked to Miss Barbara Anderson this afternoon. Of course, Barbara Ann is struggling with. I can't remember. It's been a while since she's ate solid food, but she's struggling to get fluids down. And so many off and on nurses coming in and out. So you can't remember her. Paul Tuck. He actually had a leg aneurysm from his heart surgery he had. Remember, of course, Mr. Ned's father-in-law, they went to put a plug in his heart, dropped the plug in his heart, and I guess as a result of all that, he got an aneurysm in one of his legs. And so, anyway, I talked to them last night, and this morning, they went to do surgery on him to relieve that. And the doctor said he was healed. So, power of prayer, I'll tell you right now. And, so we pray the Lord for that. Jamie and Shirley Townsend. Jamie's at home. And Shirley is taking care of him. Cassie and Norma Garlovich is continuing to be them. And Miss Norma, her Alzheimer's and strength for Miss Cassie. Morrison, Leonard Palmer's daughter Sharon, I believe tomorrow they're supposed to go and to see where she's going to be placed at, as far as hospital. Y'all know me.
Probably at Emory.
special time for it. We're thankful for times like these. We're thankful for every service that we do. But Lord, tonight you heard a prayer request, and you know who needs what. So Lord, on their behalf, we're praying for healing, we're praying for restoration, Lord. We're praying for the Christian, Lord, that needs to get back right with you. Dear Lord, maybe they're cold and indifferent. Heavenly Father, we pray for Miss Rebecca, her upcoming surgery, Lord. We pray to be with her in that situation. All the needs, those, Lord, that were in the hospital and are home now. We thank you for Paul Tuck and healing his leg overnight, Lord. That's the power of prayer. We're thankful for that. Those who have lost loved ones, we pray for their families. Pray for sufficient grace during their time of need. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'd be with us in the service, be with the younger ones downstairs, be with Brother Brian tonight as he preaches salvation. Lord, we pray that a soul will not walk the aisle. Dear God, many souls will walk the aisle. Father, we pray for Brother Jack tonight that you'd use him in a mighty way. Well, thank you for what you've done, what you're doing.
Okay, can everybody hear me? I've got some good news and bad news. I always want some good news first. We're going to see a video that I was really impressed with what I saw. The illustration that this young man did. And we're going to see that in just a little while. The bad news is y'all got to listen to me maybe for about 15 or 20 minutes as I read some scripture and some thoughts I had kind of on this. But looking at this and realizing that we're all in a race.
Right.
And a lot of people, you know, to be a Christian, you have to be in this race. You cannot be out of this race to win it. All you young guys, understand this. All you kids, understand what's being said and about this race. And what we're going to watch is about a young man that he's going to show us about illustration of a rope. And, you know, and I'm kind of focusing this on the young people, but the older people too, you know. We're still all in this race till he says we're out. You know what I mean by what we're out? What I'm going to show you about the rope, I thought, well, you know, a lot of us are at the end of our rope. Getting close. Maybe that wasn't good. But anyway, turn to Philippians, see, Revelations. Y'all thought I was going to do something. Philippians 3:14 in your Bible. I'm going to try to watch the time and get this. But seeing this and then thinking about these things, about that race that Paul was talking about. Philippians 3:14, he says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, when we think about that, we're looking at is a man straining to win a foot race.
Yes.
To strive. You guys, you ever run foot races? You ever run track? Any of you guys? Hold your hand up. Track? Foot races? What do you always want to do? You always want to be the first, right? You want to get across that line. You always want to win the prize at the end of it, no matter what it is. If you're that competitive, you want to be the best you possibly can to win this. So, and what Paul was talking about, and Paul was I think he was into, you know, sports. He talks about it, you know, running the race and, you know, what you have to do, how you prepare for it, and, you know, the long suffering of it, how you self-discipline, all this. Paul knew what he was talking about. I believe he liked to watch races and stuff like that. So what he's saying is, it says, is of men straining to win a foot race. The Christian life is especially like the longer races. Now, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. It says where the runner must sustain a winning frame of mind over a long period of time. And that's what we're going to kind of get into tonight when we watch that video. You take a person can run a 100-yard dash fast, right? Trains for it. He does it. He runs it. But that same person might not be able to run a marathon. And the reason he's not, because he's not prepared to run a marathon. A 100-yard dash, quick. It's over with. But to stay in a race and a marathon, you have to have a whole bunch of discipline about your life. And that's what Paul was trying to tell us. We as Christians, young men, women, boys, and girls, we have to have that discipline in our life to run this race. And it's a hard race. It's a race where we get in and we suffer for Christ. We cry. Things go on in our life, just like we was talking about, you know, the deaths in our family. But we still stay in that race. And it's so easy to get discouraged along this race. I put down here Christians who start out fast. They can't or won't finish the race. Some get so discouraged over it. Some are like a weak Christian. Paul says, you know, you're still on the milk of the word. You're not on the meat of the word. I think a person who gets in this race has got to do more than say, Jesus loves me, or I know John 3:16. You got to know this word. You got to know what God is saying about how we should live and how we should, you know, carry on our lives. So we can't be weak Christians. We got to be strong. We got to do what he would ask us to do, how we should live. I put a person who can run a 100-yard dash, the same person can't run a marathon, which is a long-distance race. A marathon runner, what does he have to do? He has to self-discipline himself. Now, let me ask you this. If you were going to run a race, you guys back here, and you get up to the line, are you going to go in with a 50-pound bag of food? So you're going to run a marathon. Are you going to wear brogan shoes that will keep you running? Are you going to wear a big coat, a windbreaker to run this race? No, you're going to wear the thinnest thing that you can. You're going to wear the sports shoes because you're in it to win. Well, that's what he's trying. We can't get bogged down, and I'm going to go through that in just a minute. We have to be living the best Christian life we can. We can't let stuff hinder us in the things that we do. Here in Philippians 3:14, it says, like a man running a race, I try hard to reach the line so that I will receive the prize. Because we belong to Christ Jesus, God is calling us to receive this prize that he has for us in heaven. That's the prize. You guys, all of us, you know, we're in this race. We want to win it. But we're so easily beset. We're so easily knocked down because of something. But that don't mean we're not out of the race. It means we have to get back in that race. We have to trust God with every situation in our life, how we should live. You guys, you know, I'm talking about the girls too. You go to school and say you're in this race, but then you got kids just mocking you, making fun of you. You know, don't let that knock you down. Don't get discouraged. Stay in the race. Because, like I said, if you're young men and women, you're Christians, you've got to be in this race. It's not that you don't want to be in this race. You are in a race. So think about that. You know, where do you stand with your Christian life? And how much do you want, you know, to make a difference in your life? And what we're going to show tonight with that video, I think it speaks volumes to everybody. It says in verse 15, all of us who are grown up Christians should feel this way, that if you do not think this way, God will show you the right way. If you don't know how to run this race, he says you have not because you ask not. pray and ask, say, Lord, give me the strength and show me what I need to do to stay in a Christian race as young people, as older people. We get discouraged. We have problems. We're not perfect, believe me. This is a hard race. And he said, it's not going to be an easy race. I didn't come here to make it an easy race. But, turn to Hebrews 12:1. I want to give this to you real quick. We'll be getting here the film. Hebrews 12:1 says, Wherefore, seeing ye also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The word compassed means surrounded. So we are also surrounded by a cloud of witness. Who do you think that cloud of witness is? Who it is that it's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the rest of the Old Testament saints, the prophets, everybody who was in this race, and they were reaching for a prize, and that prize was their Messiah, Jesus Christ. We look back and see what they were running and see how they do. Through his word, he tells us they're in a race. They're staying in it, and there's a prize for them. Just as we run a race. He said also that it's like we got a grandstand sitting up there in heaven, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all them. I just picture this. They're saying, come on, y'all. We did it. Y'all stay in that race. It's well worth it. What's waiting on you, there's no comparison. I heard a preacher say once that 4 seconds after you get to heaven, you won't even worry about the things that you missed down here. Everybody tries to plan their life. And I know you guys and you young girls, y'all want to marry. Y'all want to have great jobs. Y'all want to do all this. And that's great. Y'all need to plan what y'all going to do. But first of all, to run this race, you got to put Christ first in your life. And he will direct your path. That's what the Bible says. He will direct you in the way that you should go. But if you try to get in this and act like a Christian, say that you're a Christian, and you don't have Christ in your life, and you're not living as close as he wants you to live, that you're not praying, that you're not studying your Bible. See what I'm saying? He said that's the race that we're going to be in. And the cloud of witnesses, I told you who they were. And and if you look in Hebrews 11, you don't have to. It's called the Hall of Fame. You'll see every one of them. By faith. It takes the faith to run this race. We can't see the end of it. Not yet. We can read about it. But we got to go over a certain line. We have got to run this race to the end. And we're going to run it. We might run it good and we might run it bad. But we're going to run this race. And at the end of it is the prize. And that's meeting our Heavenly Father. Meeting Jesus Christ and what he did for us and what he's got waiting on us. That's your prize. Don't think there's nothing here. Yet you say, I'm a Christian. I'll go to church. I'll play like church. And there's so many people to do that. But there's more to it than that. Romans 8:28. Y'all read that. Everything that we do here on this earth doesn't compare to what he's got for us in heaven. So here we are. I put, and then it says that lay us aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. A weight is everything that hinders us. Like I said, you wouldn't go into a race extra weight on you. You can't run the race. So he's telling us that, well, let's get away from so much of, and I'm not, this is not just, about children, it's about everybody, y'all. It's about too much games, too much TV. And then I wrote down, not enough me, too much me and not enough God in our lives. Amen. That's the weight. That's the problem. Right. If we could put me aside and run this race, how much better, how much easier it would be for us. The sin that keeps coming up in our life. We all have sins. He said, I'll forgive your sins. And he did, he died for our sins. But as long as we live on this earth, we're going to have problems. And we're going to sin. You thought, oh no, you're a sinner? Every day. And he said, you come to me boldly and ask forgiveness. Daily, he said to do that. That's why you go at home at night and you say, Lord, I said something I shouldn't have said today. Would you please forgive me? You know, we really don't have to say forgive me. We say, I acknowledge it. Father, I did that. And I know you weren't pleased with it. And it's against you. Because he's already forgiven us of our sins. So that's the sins he's talking about. That one sin that we just can't get over. That just keep coming back eating at us. And I wrote down, then we just draw a line to that. You answer that question. I have to answer my question.
Right.
See? So that's sin. But the big sin, if you don't know forgiveness of this sin, you're not in the race. And that's knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If he's not Lord and Savior of your life, you're not in a race. You're just here in existence. You're living a life. But the first thing is that if you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to be saved. Then you get in the race. And then he helps you fight these other sins so that you are lighter to run this race. So you can't start the race. You can't even start this race without this. I'm hurrying. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. What does he realize is fixing to happen? I have finished my course. He knew his time on earth was just about to come to an end. That his race was going to be over. That his course was finally finished. But he says, I have kept the faith. That's what we have got to do. We're in this fight. Our fight, I have fought a good fight. We're still fighting. And I haven't finished my course. He's got plans for me. Even as old as I am, he's still got things for me to do. You remember that song? He said, he's still working on me. Well, he's still working. I love when Randy sings that song about the clay. Oh. And he does. He puts us in positions where, in different situations, that he takes us as clay and puts something in our life that we're not right with him, and he'll tear that clay down a little bit. But then he starts building again just to make us stronger in what we're doing and, like I said, to run the race. In verse 8 it says, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. There's your prize. Righteousness. Eternal life with Jesus Christ, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know, there's a lot of Christians in churches that I'm afraid that when that appearing comes, when Christ calls his church, I think there's still going to be churches going on. It's sad. It's sad that people have mouth religion instead of heart. And each one of y'all, and I'm pointing back at me, we have to know this for sure. You got to know that you know that you know that you're saved. And the Bible says, you'll know them by the fruit of the Spirit. There's nine of them. I can't go through all of them, but it's what you do as a Christian that men and women see out of your life. When we went to West Virginia and to see these young people that went and how they represented Christ, I tell you, it got people talking up there, and we were proud. Jackie and I were proud to be part of that and to hear those people talk. And then to get that free dinner Friday night that Jackie messed up. I didn't have no part of that, but anyway, that's your witness. That's the fruit. When you show somebody that you're a Christian at school, on the job, wherever you go, the fruits of what Christ has put inside us comes out. Patience, long-suffering, love. It just goes on. You can read it. There's 9 of them. So he said, in other words, we need to be fruit inspectors. But anyway, not pickers, but fruit inspectors. Okay, I got one more here, and let me... Well, I guess that really is it. I thought I had another one, but you got to fight the good fight. You got to stay the course, because one day when we stand before Him, He said that when we go to be with Him and at that Bema seat, you won't be judged. I'm not sure if I'm gonna put this right. You won't be judged for your sins when you were lost. Okay, when you were lost, let me put this another way. You go before the Bema seat, you got to answer your life for what you did as a Christian, that part of it. That's judgment. He said, I'm going to try you as by fire. He said, some of you will go in as gold, because what you did for Christ with your heart is the only thing that's going to count. If you did anything just to show off, to sing, to preach, to teach, anything, if it wasn't from your heart that Christ told you to do, your reward was what you got right here. He said that it was your belly. You got satisfied right here at the pulpit or up here singing or whatever. He said, and that stuff is like hay and stubble. It will burn up. It don't mean you lose your salvation, but what it does, it means you lose your rewards in heaven. So that's what he's talking about, running the race, winning the prize. Okay. All right, Harold, I guess we can get ready to see this.
You know that thing is sitting in myself so many
people. But, I hope I said something that maybe helped you guys, maybe helped us old people too. Stay in the race. I know I got to. I want to. I have to. Thank y'all.
That day, going on that day, maybe I just give it to the poor, because on that day I'll be rewarded for it. Versus, yeah, I mean, we've all bought things we regret, right? You go, oh, that was a waste of my.
Start over, Harold.
There's a lot of things I like here in Simi Valley. There's a lot of things I like in Southern California. There's a lot of things about this home that I'm building for myself that I want to look back on. Do I want to give that up? Do I want to give that up? Well, that looks kind of appealing. Paul goes, man, I can't do that. I've got to keep looking forward. Because the moment I look back, I'm going to lose this race. Because I'm like a runner. All I think about is that finish line. All I think about is, man, one moment I'm going to see Jesus, and I'm going to spend my life preparing for that moment. I want to cross that line. I want to get my reward. It's all about that. Because I don't look behind me. I look forward. I forget. The one thing I do, I forget what's behind me. And I'm just looking to the end. I mean, how many of us really think that way? How many of us live that way? Look into the end. You know what's interesting to me? This whole thing about forgetting what's behind and pressing on toward what's ahead. What does every counselor tell you to do? Look back. Let's go back to your past. What happened a few years ago? Oh, yeah? Well, then what happened when you were an adolescent? Let's talk about your early childhood. What happened there? Maybe some things in the womb. What happens? Was there distress? Did your mom have any? We're always going back, looking back. And Paul says, one thing I do, I forget what's back there. And I look forward. Is it true that there are certain things I do because of my past? Yeah. But there's a lot more that I do because of my future. You know, I do things. And we gotta focus on this, you guys. The world's going to keep making you look at your past, your past, your past. And we got to keep looking at the future. You look at your past, you're going to get depressed. And you're going to get stuck in your past. You look to your future and go, man, what is that moment going to be like? See, my actions, a lot of the things I do is because I'm thinking about my future. And I'm thinking about that moment when I see Jesus, because I realize that everything I do is going to bring either reward or regret. It really is. I've got an extra $1,000. Okay, on that day, that future, when I see Jesus, what is going to bring reward and what's going to bring regret? I could buy a lot of fun things for myself with that $1,000, but on that day, Paul's saying, I'm just looking at that day, going on that day, maybe I just give it to the poor, because on that day, I'll be rewarded for it, versus, yeah, I mean, we've all bought things we regret, right? You go, oh, that was a waste of money, that's a waste of money, that's a waste of money. Think about what we're going to say at the end, when we stand before God. Are you going to regret the car you drove, regret the house you lived in, regret the clothes you wore, regret, you know, just everything? What are you going to regret? What about your time and how you spent it? Are you going to go, oh, I'm so glad I watched 7,000 movies. Or are you going to regret, wow, I wasted all of that time now. It's about the future. Paul's going, man, what am I going to look forward to at the end? I'm going to bring an illustration that, this is like the first illustration I did. It was 20 years ago, but I can't think of a better way to explain it. I actually didn't use a rope back then. I used remember computer paper? When it was all stuck together and it had the holes on the side that you had to peel off. Remember that? I remember getting a roll, and some of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, which is crazy to me. But, because that was the best, you know? And it never worked right because of the rolling things. But I remember being a youth pastor, and I put that computer paper all the way around the room. But I'm going to use a rope now because I can't find that computer paper. Imagine this rope, okay, pretend this rope just goes on forever, okay? Just imagination. Pretend it goes around the world a few times. It doesn't. It ends at the rock. But let's just imagine this thing goes on forever. Now imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. You just exist forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on earth. You've got a few short years here on earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. This is your existence. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. It's all you think about. You're consumed with this. You go, oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to save so I can really enjoy this part right here. And you're consumed with that. And you're thinking, oh man, am I going to get to travel? Am I going to eat well? Am I going to do this during this part? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What about this? What about this? What about all this stuff? It's crazy to me because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm going to exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can? Paul says, look, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. See, I'm going to forget about all this stuff I could enjoy, and I'm not going to look around. I'm going to be like a runner just looking at that moment when I face God, because when I face Him, then I don't get this chance over again. We get one chance at this life on earth, and it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity. And I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not going to spend my life down here. See, people look at some of my decisions and go, oh, you're so stupid because that's going to really affect this. I go, no, you're stupid because it's going to affect all of this. Man, I'm serious. I look at the way people live and I go, wow, that is so crazy. You are so crazy. You're going to do that right now, just to enjoy right now, not even knowing if you have tomorrow, and you think that's smart and that I'm dumb, It doesn't make any sense. Paul goes, I'm not going to look around at all this stuff. And it's tempting. It's tempting to all of us. That's what I'm saying. Down here, it's crazy because everyone lives that way. Everyone lives for the red part. No one's thinking about the millions of years afterwards. It's just this crazy deception that we can't get out of our minds. And Paul goes, I'm not doing that. He goes, I keep my eyes on that. I keep my eyes on that finish line. And I'm going to forget what's behind me. I'm not looking around. I'm straining. Because I'm straining forward. I'm like stretching forward for that mark. I'm going to pass this thing. I'm going to live this out. And I'm going to face him. I'm going to come before the judges. And he's going to hand me that trophy. He goes, I'm going to get it. And I haven't gotten there yet. He goes, but you better believe I'm using every muscle, exerting every bit about me. Because I'm going to pass that line well. And then he says, brothers, join in imitating me. He goes, imitate me. Do what I'm doing right now. Keep your eyes on what? On those who walk, not those who talk. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame and with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. See, Paul says, imitate me. He says, imitate me. He goes, so imitate me. See how I'm living? See how I'm striving for this? See how I'm not distracted by all these things? He goes, imitate me. But here's what killed me. He says, for many of whom I've often told you, and I now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. He says many, and he's talking about people that attend church. Many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Don't miss this. Many walk. That's how. See, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands and say, hey, how many of you are enemies of Jesus Christ this morning? You know, notice how Todd didn't do that in the beginning? Hey, how many of you guys are enemies of Jesus? Oh, good, good. I see that hand. No one's going to admit it. No one's even going to say it. But he says, many walk. You can look at their actions and go, he'll say that he's a Christian all day long. She'll say she's a believer and follower. But look at her actions. Look how she walks. She walks as an enemy of Christ. And he's saying, he goes, man, I'm not happy about this. He goes, I'm saying this right now. I've said it many times. He goes, and I'm saying it and I'm crying at the same time. He goes, I'm crying as I say this to you that many of you guys are walking like enemies of the cross. You talk like it, but you're walking like enemies of the cross. And the reason why he's crying is because he says their end is destruction. Wait, but they're professing believers, but they said they followed Jesus, but they prayed a prayer. I don't care. The way they walk shows me that what they said they didn't really mean. They're walking as enemies of the cross of Christ. And he's crying. He's going, man, their end is destruction. This makes me so sad. You know what destruction means. He's talking about hell. They think that they're going to cross this line and get real. He goes, no. Look at their lives. Their end is destruction. He goes, and it's killing me. He says, by their walk, and he explains them. He says, their God isn't Jesus. Their God is their belly. Their God is their belly. What does he mean by that? It's their hunger, what they hunger for. Whatever I want, I'm going to get. I want to eat that, I'm going to eat that. I want to buy that. I want to buy it. He goes, God's not your God. You don't buy the things that God wants you to buy. You don't say the things that God wants you to say. You just say the things you want to say. Because you're your own God. Your God's your appetite, what you hunger for. So if you desire that, you're going to get it. And you'll figure out a way to justify it biblically. But you know you're not praying before the decisions and going, God, should I do this? Should I pursue her? Should I pursue this relationship? Should I watch that movie? Should I eat this? Should I buy this? Because no, you just do what you want. Your God is not Jesus Christ. Your God is your belly. It's your appetite, whatever you desire. You're your own God. You walk like an enemy of the cross. See, the cross was all about denial. The cross was all about suffering. The cross was, well, this is what the Father has set for me to do, so I'm going to do it. It's not really what I'm hungering for right now, longing for, but you know what? So those who just go with their appetite, they're God's their stomach. He goes, you know what? They glory in their shame. They show off things that they should be ashamed of. We can do that. We're so proud of some possession we have. You should be ashamed of that. They just want to glory in these things. Oh, look at this, you know, surgery I had done. Look how I look. You're proud of that? You should be ashamed of that. You're glorying in things that you should be ashamed of because you're looking at the things of the earth and you're proud of it? He says, because you know what? You're setting your minds on earthly things. Your mind is set on earthly things. It's like you're just thinking about the things of the world and you're showing off the things of the world that, you know, to everyone else. You know, you should be ashamed of that. Because you're showing that who your God really is. It's you. Whatever you want to do, you're going to do. You say, well, God wants me to be happy. God would want this. God would want you to just follow him. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow. That's what I read. God would want you to so long for him and that finish line and be hungering for him and not thinking about the things of the earth. The enemies of the cross. I hate that phrase. Who wants to be called an enemy of the cross? But we walk as enemies of the cross when we live for this life and our minds are set on earthly things. He goes, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior. What do we wait for? A Savior. What do we wait for? We wait for Jesus. And so we're going, man, life really stinks right now, but oh, when I see Jesus, it's going to be awesome. You know, yeah, I've let go of a lot of things, and I've suffered a lot of things, but man, when I see Jesus, I'm living for that moment, and I can't wait for my Savior. I can't wait till he... See, I'm in love with a person, and that person happens to be in heaven right now, and I can't wait to see his face and be with him. I'm not... See, there's such a big distinction. There are those who love it down here. And there are those who are going nuts because they love Jesus so much and can't wait to be with him. And the question is how do you walk? I'm not asking how you talk because honestly, I could care less anymore. I've been lied to so many times. And so many people come to church for years and years and years. And it isn't until way down the road you realize who they really were. So I don't care, you know, because you can hide whatever. I doubt very few of you would say that you're an enemy of Jesus Christ. I'm just saying by your lifestyle. Where it says sermon-based questions, live for eternity. I just put two questions on there. And if you have a pen, that would be great to actually fill this out because I'm going to give you like a minute or so. But just answer these two questions. First question, what have you done this past week that matters in light of eternity? Does that make sense? Like, what did you do during this last week that you'll actually see the results of here? Okay? What did you do this week where you'll see the results here that matters in light of eternity? And then the other question is, what have you done this past week that will not be remembered when you reach eternity? What stuff did you do this week that's just going to end right here and it's all going to burn? It's just pointless. See, because there's things you do every day that you'll see the results of here. And there's other things that it ended. You did it. You spent the day. You spent the time. You spent the money. You spent the energy. But you're not going to see any results of that in heaven. And just for you to evaluate your life. And so just take a minute or so and just start filling that out. And if anyone needs prayer this morning, I know this is heavy. And I think it's maybe you're just blown away like, wow, this is so much. Because I was always taught, man, just love your family and that's a Christian thing to do. And if you got some time, then serve in the church a little bit. And if you got a little leftover money, throw it in the plate.
Now, Jesus says, no, everything. You just lose your whole life and you'll find it. But you try to save it, you're going to lose it. Maybe some of you are saying today, you know what? I want to follow this Jesus. I'm ready to give it all up. I'll trade in my old life. I'm not trying to add Jesus to my life. I want this whole new life where I live for the end.
There's a lot of things I like in Southern California. There's a lot of things about this home that I'm building for myself that I want to look back. Oh, do I want to give that up? Do I want to give that up? Well, that looks kind of appealing. Paul goes, man, I can't do that. I've got to keep looking forward. Because the moment I look back, I'm going to...